Now we're back on the record.
Okay, we are, we are back on the record with proposed initiative 2015-2016, number 120. The proponent could introduce yourself and tell us, and your other proponent, and tell us what you believe the single subject of your measure is.
I'm John Caldera, proponent of this. Amy Oliver Cook is also here. We've both signed our affidavits. This is a single subject. It is very simple. It just changes school board elections from odd numbered years to even numbered years.
Is there anyone here who wishes to speak on this issue? Then, any questions?
No.
Do you want to make a motion?
I do. I move that we find that proposed initiative 2015-16, number 120, concerning date of school board elections, has a single subject and that we have jurisdiction to set a title.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That takes us to the title itself.
Want to wait for Fred?
He can catch up.
All right.
Do you have any comments on it?
Yeah. A few. This is a remarkably long title for such a simple issue. I would love to, of course, end the in connection therewith, because I don't think it adds anything to that. The word biennial I would also like to strike, just because I think most voters understand what a regular school board election is. And in fact, I've got a few other changes.
Did you already vote without me?
Single subject.
You missed it. There are you. Three down.
We have my consensus.
The last couple lines, rather than the first Tuesday on November in each odd-numbered year, and then there's no reason to have the on the first Tuesday in November in each odd-numbered year. I think people understand that. That's the redundancy department of redundancy, because we just said it above. And the last line, and providing that the length of the school district director terms, which are 4 years, shall be adjusted as established by law. That, I don't even know if that is going to be legally correct. I don't know if there are some districts that might have a longer than 4 year term. So that part, I think, should leave altogether. And if we're going crazy with that, the way I would write this is a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning the holding of regular school elections, requiring such elections to be held on even-numbered years on the first Tuesday succeeding the first Monday of November rather than in each odd-numbered year. I would leave it just like that. So I
was going to say something more like just to change the Colorado Revised Statutes. Changing school board elections from odd years to even years.
That would be perfect.
I don't think biennial adds anything. I don't think first Monday in November.
I think the only question is whether we need to or not, you know, reference what the change is versus just saying when they're going to be from now on. And I think we can do the latter.
The law is, I believe, already that it's on, you know, the Tuesday after the first Monday or whatever that is. I don't know if we need to repeat that. I mean, from a voter's point of view, all they need to know is that we're going to switch them from on year to on years from off years.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason in the staff draft for all that detail is, for whatever reason, there's a vagary in the existing statute where the first Tuesday actually isn't the same as succeeding the first Monday if the first Tuesday is the first day of the month, which is why they did all that detail. That said, I agree with you, we don't need it, but I understand why it was done that way. I mean, I think this could be as simple as just saying, I think I would, I kind of like keeping the biennial just because it tracks the actual language of the statute.
But it's not part of the change of the change.
Oh, that's a fair point. Okay, so we just want to say requiring regular school elections to be held. I mean, I think we can.
What you have right up there, change to the revised statutes, changing regular school board elections from odd numbered years to even numbered years. End of sentence.
Yeah, I agree.
I won't argue.
Why don't we start with that?
I was going to end with that, but okay.
I just had a few very, very minor tweaks.
Sure. Changing regular school board elections? Is that what she said? Okay.
And then I'd put a period after years and strike everything else.
Yep. I would just say we could say changing regular school board elections from odd hyphen to even numbered years. You can get rid of odd numbered years to even numbered years.
Okay.
We're going to have the shortest ballot title.
That's my goal.
In the history.
Yep.
Ballot title.
Somebody might actually read it.
That doesn't happen until there's a vote taken. I've seen you guys in action.
Oh, no, I think you need even numbered. And I think you need a hyphen after odd.
Do you want to say do you want to say something about it being even numbered years referencing the major election, or do you think that that's good enough? I mean, do you want people to know that it's going to coincide with the major election, or?
Yeah, but I could even just say, right, requiring regular school board elections to be held concurrently with general elections.
Right. I mean, I don't know. That's.
I mean, from odd to even numbered years to be held. What was the term you just used?
Concurrently with general elections.
Yeah.
I like that.
You like that? Okay. Because otherwise, I think people might think you were going to hold them like you do with municipalities. They could be in April or May, right, or, you know, whatever. So.
Well, then do we need
November
from odd to even number years?
Well, yeah, because you still have the distinction is a major election, and nobody knows what that, I mean, the average voter's not going to know that that means even years.
Okay.
All right. I guess I'll move the changes to the title.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
So right now it reads a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes, changing regular school board elections from odd to even numbered years to be held concurrently with general elections.
Sure. I move that we adopt the title for proposed initiative 2015-16 number 120 as it now appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That takes us to proposed initiative number 2015-2016, number 121. The proponents can introduce themselves and tell us what you believe the single subject is of your initiative.
John Caldera, proponent of this initiative. Amy Oliver Cook is here with us. She's the other proponent. We both signed our affidavits. This one is a very simple single subject. It says that Colorado will not use public monies to subsidize the film industry until K through 12 public education is fully funded.
All right, anybody here who wishes to speak on this issue? All right, any questions about the single subject?
All right, I move the proposed initiative 2015-16 number 121 concerning funding for the Office of Film, Television, and Media has a single subject.
I second.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
It takes us to the question. Do you have comments on the question?
Yes. Oh, my God. Who wrote this?
the staff.
It was late at night. I mean, really, you know, the declarative statement at the beginning of this really says it all, which is that this is a change to revised statutes saying that we're not going to use public monies to incentivize the film industry until K through 12 education is fully funded. That's, you know, the, you know, forget just the where connection where they're with. You know, the beginning in the state year I don't think is important to this. The article in the Constitution is interesting. The whole thing down at the bottom of gifts, grants, and donations, since that is part of the statutes that we haven't changed, I don't see any reason to put any of that in.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on a lot of it, and I think we could actually even perhaps get rid of the concerning and connection and trailers. But I think we do have to say at some point what fully funded means, because, and maybe not necessarily this reference back to the Section 17, but I'm not sure how else we would describe it, because fully funded means, you know, we're using it here as a legal definition, but a voter is going to think it's, what is fully funded? Does that mean my definition of what I think my kids should have, or?
Well, if we want to go that way, it is, you know, the last part of this is as determined by the Office of the State Treasurer.
Except they're not really making a, I mean, they're, that makes it sound like the treasurer
gets to decide.
When there's actually, you know, a formula, it's not really a decision by the treasurer that's.
Well, we could say as defined by, you know, Section 17, Article 9 of the state constitution.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just not sure how else to say it, but that's where you get that reference in there. And I don't think that we can just say fully funded.
I agree. I in fact, I don't like the term fully funded at all. Funding in accordance with Section 17 or something like that. I mean, there are people out there that believe that and that have, you know, filed lawsuits saying that we are underfunded as we, you know, that there ought to be huge amounts more appropriated.
Although the language of the proposed change says until the system has been fully funded defined by Section 17 of.
I would just prefer funded as defined by.
I think I would keep the fully in there because, I mean, there is, as I've read it, the measure does require a certain a calculation in a sense of based on, you know, Amendment 23's requirements. And, you know, as provided by law, gets a little bit interesting because that, you know, changes all the time, of course. Does just to be...
I mean, also, we're just bouncing around here, but beginning in the 17-18 fiscal.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, we don't need. I don't think we need.
No, we don't.
That.
What's the feeling of the board on whether are we feeling that it's not a central feature that the voters don't need to know what we're eliminating in terms of, you know, the fact that it's limited gaming fund money that's going over here and we're not letting that happen anymore? Do we think that that's important enough that it should be in there or not?
I don't know that the voters are going to be concerned with where the money originated. It all comes from many different areas.
All right, then what I would suggest, and is that we say something like this: "A change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning a prohibition on the use of state money to fund the Colorado Office of Film, Television, and Media until the public school system is fully funded." In connection there, well, I'm sorry, is fully funded as defined by the state constitution and state law.
I think that's
actually
fine.
If we do it that way, we don't have to say concerning a prohibition, or we can just say prohibiting, I think.
Right.
Yeah. And the reason I switched from public money to state money is because we still have that gifts, grants, and donations thing from existing law, which indicates public sources.
Fine by the, by, we could just say state law. I mean, the Constitution's part of,
yeah.
You're going to eliminate the section in the Constitution. I don't know that.
I think there are enough people who are interested. We do tend to distinguish in the statutes, and
okay.
We draft them a lot between the Constitution and law, law referring to statutes. I would keep both just to let people know that we might be talking about Amendment 23 too, or we can keep the whole section number and it doesn't matter too much to me either way.
If the proponent is okay just saying the state constitution is as provided,
yeah,
by law.
That's fine.
And I think, Steve, instead of as provided by, I would just say this as defined by the state constitution and state law. This makes it simpler.
All right. Do you want to move the, well, I'll read it. I don't think we ever did that part, but right now it's a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes prohibiting the use of state money to fund the Colorado Office of Film, Television, and Media until the public school system has been fully funded as defined by the state constitution and state law.
From the Peanut Gallery.
Right.
Hey, great question. Should we put in K through 12 public school system so there's no confusion about higher ed?
If you want.
I'm fine with it the way it is right now. I think I like it this way. I'm fine with it this way.
Yeah,
Without K through 12?
Without K through 12. I just thought I'd bring it up.
I think it's fine as is.
Yeah, I'm fine, but if you want it, I'm
no.
Fine. Okay. All right.
I like it as is.
Then you want to make a motion?
Yes, I move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2015-16 number 121 as we've amended it and now appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. That takes us to proposed initiative number 2015-2016 number 116, retention of excess state revenue.
I'm Dee Weiser with the law firm Butler Snow, representing the proponents. With me today are the designated representatives, Dan Ritchie and Al Yates, and they have executed their affidavits.
All right. Can you just start by letting us know what you believe the single subject of your measure is?
Yes, it's an authorization for the state to retain and spend without increasing taxes, all state revenues that exceed the constitutional limitation on fiscal year spending.
Is there anybody here who wishes to speak on the single subject of this initiative? Oh, okay.
I'm John Caldera. I don't believe this is a single subject for several reasons. Let's remember this is not a referred measure. This is a initiated measure and has to have one single subject. We're talking about an override to the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. We're talking about directing new spending on projects, and we're talking about creating a brand-new fund called the General 2016 Election General Fund Exempt Account, as well as dictating spending, which is something like what Amendment 23 did. So I see at least 3 to 4 different subjects in this one initiative. So we're talking about statewide debrucing, taking away spending, or excuse me, taking away tax refunds from Tabor, starting a brand new fund, dictating spending. So I don't see how that falls under one question.
Any questions?
No.
You have any response?
Well, obviously, we disagree. This is a single subject. It's very similar to Referendum C, and the legislature is bound to single subject rules. I will, for the purposes of the board, hand out the title from Referendum C.
Any questions?
No.
Okay. Any comments?
Let's see, we're still on single subject, right?
Yes.
So then, no, I believe this is a single subject and we'll so move if others don't disagree.
I agree. This is a Tabor measure, but all of the changes that are reflected in the proposed initiative relate to the retention of excess state revenue, so I do find a single subject and would welcome a motion.
All right, I move that we find the proposed initiative 2015-16 number 116 concerning retention of excess state revenues has a single subject and that we have jurisdiction to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that takes us to the language of the initiative. Do you have any comments on the staff draft?
I do. I think there are three concepts that really aren't reflected in the staff draft. One is that there's no tax increase associated with this. Secondly is that there's a minimum established by the measure of the amount of the excess revenues that has to be spent on transportation and education. That's 35% in both cases. And lastly, that the measure requires an annual report to the public about how the revenue has been spent. Again, I've got a draft of suggestion that I'll give the board. Apologize to Steve for not having emailed him a Word perfect or Word version of that.
Thank you.
Mr. Caldera, you have any comments on the staff draft or on the proposal?
That I think the staff draft is missing several important parts about this. There's, even though there is mention of the taxpayer bill of rights inside the changes, there's no mention of the taxpayer bill of rights in this title. And again, this is not written for lawyers. This is written for voters. There's nothing here that mentions that there will be no refund coming from this. And when there is a debrucing in most localities that I've seen, there is a specific mention of a Tabor override with an amount. I don't have Tabor with me, but I think it's like Section 3C. I know that's for tax increases, but there's usually something that says this is for a Tabor override with potential estimate of what is going to be that cost of that override. It also has some vagaries, I think, in things of mental health and senior services. While the other two spending issues have some clarity as definition, these two, which are wildly wide open, have no definition at all. And so I don't know how to. It seems like then the transportation and education projects probably should be better defined if they are in the initiative. Oh, and that you have a brand new fund being started. Excuse me. But I think one of the key components of this is that you're starting a brand new spending fund inside creating a new account, and that's not mentioned in this either.
One observation is that the Taxpayer Bill of Rights has no specific requirement for language on what a debrucing measure has to say. And in fact, there are hundreds of debrucing measures done at the local level that have no dollar amount associated with the debrucing. It's not required. The Supreme Court has upheld that. So I don't think that's necessary here at all. The account is really, again, just like referendum C, it is really an accounting vehicle so that the controller's office can reflect easily what this money has been spent upon, and it's in connection really with the annual reporting requirement.
Add on to that. Maybe so, but this is your second point, which is hereby created a general fund, this new election fund. That seems to be a pretty sizable change. And also, again, if this is for voters, there's absolutely no mention here that of the cost or that this is going to take away possible future taxpayer bill of rights refunds. So I think there's a huge omission here. Now, this, again, is supposed to be written for voters, not for lawyers. And it seems to me that if you're going to be putting in a taper override, there should be a mention of that they're not going to get their money. If you're going to be mentioning a new fund or doing a new fund, you should do that, a new account. If there's going to be a cost, they should know that. And if we're going to have things like education and transportation described in this bill of what those are. For instance, in transportation, it says mass transit. So when I read transportation and have my many years on RTD and other things, there's a difference between transportation and mass transit. So in this title here, there's nothing here that adds this to mass transit. So as a voter, I would not know that's part of it.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, I think that the language, and I'll just tell you my personal view, I think that the language where you say without increasing tax rates or imposing new taxes is sort of meant to get people to vote for it. And then the part you're mentioning, you know, oh, and you're not going to get a refund is to get people to vote against it. So if you leave both those out, don't they kind of offset each other?
Hardly.
I mean, you don't have to have either in there. I mean, I think, you know, when these are referred measures by a, you know, local or the legislature, you know, then they may write them differently than perhaps we do when we have a requirement not to try to, you know, use any sort of catchphrase or suggest, you know, how people would vote. And I think that in some ways, both of those phrases maybe do.
I would disagree with that, in that what is not clear, I think, for the layman is that this is a revenue increase that would otherwise go back to taxpayers. And you can, you know, that needs to be clear. If we're not going to put a dollar amount on there, if there's no such thing about where this is going, I see nothing here that, you know, says that this will cost you any potential taxpayer refunds. And I think that is a key part of that. In fact, that's the purpose of this whole statutory change, is to increase governmental spending, which means it's going to cost. And that needs to be drawn out, I believe, clearly in this.
Well, it's potentially going to cost if the rates go up enough, right?
If the rates go up enough, certainly.
The money goes up and up. If it goes down, then this has no effect, really.
Right, but if it goes up, then there are no refunds. And since there's no, I don't see a sun, unlike Ref C, I don't see any sunset on this. You know, that's in perpetuity. So to say that you are, they need to know you are saying no to any potential Tabor refunds, not for a five-year timeout, but forever. And that needs to be made clear to voters. For those of us who dance around Tabor all the time, it might be very clear, you know, to us, but the voter needs to know this is in perpetuity. There will never again be a taxpayer bill of rights refund under this.
But the measure does say that it's about authorizing the state to retain and spend all state revenues. There can be no doubt what that means.
Yeah.
Lots of doubt. There are grants, there are all sorts of other revenues.
Not distinguishing between revenues. It says all state revenues in excess of the constitutional limitation.
Question for the title board is, for whom are you writing this title?
I think I'm ready to weigh in here. I think first, regarding Mr. Weiser's three changes, first, I agree with the chair that, you know, the no tax increase language, while used in referendum C, is not something I'm inclined to do at all here. I think it's definitely intended, is not necessary, certainly as a neutral, is intended to get positive votes for the measure. I do agree that I think the minimum amount, or the fact that there is a minimum amount to be dedicated for transportation and education, is worthy of mention and should be mentioned. On the third thing about the annual report, I'm sort of on the fence with that and would like to consult with the rest of the board on that. I don't know that it's really a central feature, and I also think it's somewhat intended to convey to potential voters a feeling of accountability that may exceed what it really does. With respect to Mr. Caldara's concerns, we have ample case law says that we don't get to speculate on the effects of measures. We don't know for sure that there will ever be refunds anyways, even though it seems very likely that will be the case. And again, the language of explicitly saying no refunds, I think I give the regular people a bit more credit than you do in being able to understand what it means to retain and spend all excess state revenues. So I'm not inclined to speak to that. I don't think the creation of the new fund is something that needs to be referenced in the title either. We are saying, or the staff draft already indicates, it's being used for certain purposes. The fund is really just a technical mechanism for separating that money for that use. I don't think it matters much. And I do agree with, you know, Mr. Weiser, Tabor certainly doesn't require any effort to estimate or include in the title the proposed amount that would be retained when we don't have a tax increase, but just a retention issue.
And I agree with all of that. I don't think the report is central. I mean, you can go on state website and see what expenditures there are every year. You know, that's already public information. You can see what comes in and what goes out in the budget. I think I might be in agreement that there could be a couple additions that would be helpful. Maybe instead of you know, concerning an authorization, maybe just permanently authorizing the state to retain and spend. And that makes it clear that this is a permanent debruce without a timeout. I'm not sure that the beginning, if you do it permanently, I don't know that the date that we're going to start doing that is all that important. It's just permanent. It's going to happen in the next year, so we could probably take that out. And then I'm on the fence on whether we have to say this is Tabor. I'm okay with putting that in front of the constitutional, exceed the Tabor constitutional limitation or something like that, but that's where I am.
I do think the report is an accountability feature, and it is a little difficult for someone to go to the state website and identify how these excess revenues are spent as opposed to the general fund. And so just like in Referendum C, there is a special reporting requirement in these measures to help voters understand where these monies were spent.
Yeah, and I think that might be something that's helpful in the for voters to go look at later, that it'll be separated out, and that's how the measure reads. I'm just not sure that most voters, I mean, we've had reports in other questions, and typically we leave that sort of administration out of the question.
I agree with, I think, most of what the other members are saying. I think it should say in the title clause, maybe we won't have a title in a trailer, but a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes permanently authorizing the state to retain and spend all state revenues that exceed the constitutional limitation on state fiscal year spending. I don't think we should refer to Tabor here. I think we should refer just to the constitutional limitation on state fiscal year spending. I'm sure that advocates both for and against the measure will be talking about Tabor, but here we're referring to, as we do often with titles, rather than, you know, citations to particular constitutional provisions, descriptions of where that information can be found. I'm almost inclined, rather than specifying minimum 35%, just generally stating that governing how excess revenues are to be spent. Because I agree with the comments that there are detailed sort of definitions or specifications for some, but not all of these categories. And oftentimes, when we've got that kind of detail in titles, we just simply try to find a general descriptor of the provisions rather than try to enumerate them.
If I could make a comment on that, you know, under education, it's broken up in three different areas of pre-K to 12th grade, vocational, and higher education. Those are three very different realms, I think. What I'm more concerned about is on the part dedicated to what says transportation. These are very fine rules words in that there's a difference between transportation funding and mass transit funding. That's why we have arguments over what can be used and where. You know, if it is transportation used primarily or in part, large part, to transport people, maybe that's the term of art, but you to have two different things in that, which is transportation funding, which is roads and infrastructure, and mass transit, which is a whole different pot of money administered by a whole different field of government, and governments not only in the state but on the federal level. You know, if this is going to trolleys and to buses, then that's very different than roads and bridges. And I think that is something that needs to be clarified.
But isn't that a reason to just do a general statement that it's specifying where the funds will be spent instead of trying to delineate and potentially get it wrong? So, I mean, if we just say specifying where the revenues are to be spent, then that's an accurate statement. If we start to try to delineate the categories where it will be spent, then that's where we can end up tripping ourselves up, I think. I think that was
my concern as well.
I do think the voters would want to know that a minimum is required to be spent on education and on transportation. It's not, unlike referendum C, there's not carte blanche granted to the General Assembly. There is a minimum required spending on those two categories.
Yeah. First, I want to address the concern about transportation. I think that Mr. Caldara's expertise on the subject may be, and keeping in mind his admonition that we're writing for the people, I think the people, when they hear the word transportation, would say that it's a big subset that covers everything and that mass transit's a subset of that, and it's only the experts who would think differently.
Then government spending is just government spending. It should all be in one place, because it talked to people in rural parts of this state, and transportation funding versus transit funding. And
sir, Mr. Caldera, could you just go to the mic?
I was just saying that you might feel that way here, but talk to folks in the rural parts of this state. There is a huge difference between transportation funding and mass transit funding, especially once we had faster fees go up and some of it not going to the roads and bridges. Now, this is, talk to people who are not in the Denver metro area. This is a sizable difference. I believe so. But if it's not, then there's not a difference between education. I mean, because you've got this education broken up, you've got transportation broken up, then mass transit is put in there, and then potentially mental health services and senior services, which have no definition in this, and those are even much more vague terms of mental health and senior services. You know, those are very, very broad terms with no specificity in this whatsoever.
At least as to the latter point, I searched the Colorado Revised Statutes, and mental health services is a term that's used repeatedly, but I could find no statutory definition of it. And as a reminder, this is an initiated statute where the General Assembly will have some flexibility to define such undefined terms.
I don't think it's necessary to really specify what any remainder would be spent on. I mean, this is not less than 35%. I think that it could be 100%, and why do we need to say that part? I think the question is whether we're going to talk about 35% being spent on education, then are we going to say 35% being spent on education, including preschool, 3 through 12, vocational, higher? And then if we talk about transportation, are we going to say transportation, including?
What I would suggest, and I think it's getting a little wordy, but it's not getting that far into the weeds, is to start with something pretty close to what's on the board. We can talk about the permanently authorizing, or saying a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning authorization for the state to retain and spend all state revenues collected on or after July 1st, 2016, or we can use the permanently authorizing instead. And then with the in connection therewith, I would say something like dedicating specified percentages of any revenues retained to fund education and transportation projects, and allowing the state to use remaining revenues retained for the same purposes and to fund mental health services and senior services. It tells you there's a floor for both of those two things, doesn't get into the weeds about what that floor is, and that you can use the rest for those purposes or two other purposes. And with response to some of the arguments about the specificity of these terms, I mean, I think the broad categories, you know, there's voter information booklets, there's campaigns. I think the broad categories give people the general gist and notice of what's going to be funded, generally speaking. And it also matches the basic language of the measure and works and satisfies our need for brevity.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, that's, I'm okay with that too.
After the trailer stuff, just go with that.
So you're, Jason, you're going to have to.
He has it written down.
working on it.
Oh, you're ahead of the game.
He came late.
He's still freshin'.
He's still fresh.
Oh, we give every title the same consideration, so.
Got it. And just pull a comma on line 5 after projects.
There's space there after retaining.
Thank you. You actually can take that comma out too.
I would just drop the in connection there with. I don't think we need it, but.
Well, when we start getting to ands, I mean, I think it clarifies a single subject. I would keep it.
Okay.
If I could make one last pitch.
Well, you get another bite at the apple on the 20th, so.
It's true. under transportation projects, it seems to me that transportation projects, including transit or mass transit, you might think that people think of the same way. I will tell you that there are people for whom mass transit is also a very political spending issue. And so, for you, it might be all in one thing, but it's not like education, which is a blanket for higher and lower education. There is a pretty substantial subset of people for whom, if they knew that money was going to mass transit, might be more inclined to vote for it or less inclined to vote for it.
And I think the same is true with respect to education. There are those that are very passionate about advocating in favor of K-12. Even at the expense of higher ed. And I mean, the measure says, in accordance with the formula specified in a particular section of the code, this is a challenge we face in setting title. We have to give enough details so people understand what they're voting for, but then we can't lard it over with too much detail and satisfy everybody. And we do have to rely on the political process to a certain extent to explain more fully what the measure is, and we hope that people read it and inform themselves in debate based not only on the title but on the measure itself.
Mr. Weiser, what do you have a position on it?
I'm fine with the title as written. Okay. I think the measure defines transportation. The measure will be printed in the blue book. People can inform themselves.
Okay. All right, I'm going to read it then. It's a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes permanently authorizing the state to retain and spend all state revenues that exceed the constitutional limitation on state fiscal year spending and in connection therewith dedicating specified percentages of any revenues retained to fund education and transportation projects and allowing the state to use remaining revenues retained for the same purposes and to fund mental health services and senior services.
All right.
I move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2015-16, number 116, as it now appears on the screen.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And it passes unanimously. And that takes us to proposed initiative 2015-2016, number 117. And Mr. Weiser, if you could please introduce yourself, your proponents, tell us what you believe the single subject is and what the difference is in the measure.
D. Weiser with the law firm Butler Snow, representing the proponents. With me today are Dan Ritchie and Al Yates, who are the designated representatives, and they have filed their affidavits. The single subject of this measure is similar to 116 in that it's authorizing the state to retain and spend revenues received above the state constitutional limitation for specified purposes. The one difference here between 116 and this is that this does have a 10-year sunset, similar to the REFC 5-year sunset date.
Mr. Caldera, you want to say anything new, or you want to incorporate your comments from the last one on the single subject?
I will save you the time and just say everything I said before I'll put on the record now.
Okay. Then we'll incorporate the comments from both sides for the setting in 116. And why don't we bring up the question that we just set. And then again, we'll incorporate all the comments related to the title itself and the language that we used from 116 into the record on 117. And then I think that we need to change the...
Should we move single subject?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Let's see. I move that we find the proposed initiative 2015-16, number 117, has a single subject, and we have jurisdiction to set a title.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That takes us to the question. So we need to take out the permanently, and then just authorizing the state to retain and spend all state revenues. And then do you want to put the beginning in there, or do you want to put it down below?
Seems to me someplace in here we should indicate that the authorization is for 10 years. And then they're just like Ref C, the highest state revenues during that 10-year period become the an additional voter-approved revenue change thereafter.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I've done some write-up on this one, and there isn't a very easy way to...
Right.
Convey that. I know the staff draft talks about just the cap. I'm curious if anyone thinks that's, to me, I don't know how helpful that was because I don't think it means,
I think
it tells people anything.
It is a challenge, and it was a challenge definitionally in the drafting, but to try, I didn't think use of the term cap in and of itself conveyed the message.
You want to take a shot. If it's all right, I'm going to suggest that Steve Allen, my best shot at it. I think it
so as a
could
new...
be trimmed down, but...
Okay.
Because I think the difficulty is conveying that, again, setting that base at the highest of 10 years and then explaining how it grows thereafter.
Right.
And unfortunately, I don't think there's a very user-friendly way to really do that that I can figure out, but...
Yes, and Ref C, you know, the legislature referred to the cap as defined in the measure, but I'm not sure that that adds much to understanding.
I feel bad. His fingers are probably about to fall off. Hopefully we can find some way to trim it down from what I've got, but... Yeah, that's the same as from the last one. Yeah, that's this. That last clause should be the same. We do have to get rid of the all, I think, right at the top, though. We'll double check what we've got. There may be more changes there, but...
Interesting. Steve, you have a typo in line 5 there.
I like Fro better.
Yeah.
Yep, that works. I think you have a hyphen on line 4 between fiscal and years you don't need, but otherwise, it's what I had. Yeah, you can, yes. I think there, yeah, take that one out, please, too. That's my own typo you got in there, because I think I had 10 fiscal year period at first and then changed it.
All right. Comments from either side?
I don't know. I have a comment, but I don't have a suggestion. It just seems like we have a lot of authorizing, retaining, and spending. It's 3 times there, but I don't know if I have a solution to that.
I'm 1.7 before dedicating. I think we need an and. Well, no, I'm sorry. Never mind. It's below. Can't read my own stuff. Yeah, it's a lot of words, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't know how you.
There's a shorter way to do it. You know, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I agree. I think this is accurate. I think the concept of a cap and a cap set by the 10-year high and then adjusted again according to Tabor's provisions is difficult, and I think you need words to say it. But it's central, and we have to say it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I apologize. I missed that comment.
Just that it's wordy, but we think every provision that talks about the authorizing is a needed provision. And I think it explains it better than calling it a cap. Since people don't really know what that means. This, I think, although wordy, people will at least be able to know that whatever is the highest in that 10-year period will adjust the limit.
I agree. I think it's wordy, but probably the best we can do. I should have maybe thought of this on 116. I do wonder on line 9 whether we should say to fund or just say for the same purposes and for mental health.
I'm fine either way. We just need to remember on the 20th to... make it. You okay with it?
I don't know why you're looking at me. I think either way is fine.
Oh, I meant the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I am fine with the whole thing.
All right. You want me to read it?
Sure.
You ready? Okay. This is a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes authorizing the state to retain and spend state revenues that exceed the constitutional limitation on state fiscal year spending and in connection therewith authorizing the state to retain and spend all such revenues collected during the 10 fiscal years from July 1st, 2016 through June 30th, 2025, and authorizing the state to annually retain and spend such revenues for any subsequent fiscal year in an amount equal to the highest amount collected during any single fiscal year during the 10-year period adjusted for increases in state population and inflation, dedicating specified percentages of any revenues retained to fund education and transportation projects, and allowing the state to use remaining revenues retained for the same purposes and for mental health services and senior services.
Probably not terribly important, but in line six, we say during twice. I wonder if
that hit my ear too.
I wonder if we might want to say in any single fiscal year.
And I would say within the 10-year or during, either way.
Okay.
It's fine, either.
Right. So let's leave it as during.
Yeah, so we'll change the first during to any. Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. I move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2015-16, number 117, as it now appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that takes us to proposed initiative 2015-2016, number 118, retention of state revenues. And Council, if you could introduce yourself, your opponents, tell us your single subject and how this differs from the last draft.
Dee Weiser with the law firm Butler Snow, representing the proponents with me today are Dan Ritchie and Al Yates, the designated representatives who've signed their affidavits. The single subject here is authorizing the state to retain and spend all revenues in excess of the constitutional limitation for a 10-year period. The difference between this and 117 is that there's no specification as to how the revenues are to be used.
Is there anybody here, and for the record, we'll go ahead and incorporate the comments from 117 and 116 and take up the issue of single subject.
Just to save you all the time, what I said before, but even more so.
Council, anything else?
No.
I move that we find the proposed initiative 2015-16, number 118, has a single subject, and we have jurisdiction to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, that takes us to the title itself. And again, for the record, we incorporate the comments from 116 and 117. Any further comments beyond what you've made? We're currently looking at the same language. He's already done it.
117 less the last.
Yeah.
Yep, that's so perfect.
We took out the specification of where the funds are spent and left the question the same.
Yeah. Only thing is, after 2025 on line four.
Right now, it reads a change to the Colorado revised statutes authorizing the state to retain and spend state revenues that exceed the constitutional limitation on state fiscal year spending, and in connection therewith authorizing the state to retain and spend all such revenues collected during the 10 fiscal years from July 1st, 2016 through June 30th, 2025, and authorizing the state to annually retain and spend such revenues for any subsequent fiscal year in an amount equal to the highest amount collected in any single fiscal year during the 10-year period, adjusted for increases in state population and inflation.
Shouldn't it be 2026?
No.
I think 2025 is the correct. That's the end of the 10th fiscal
right.
year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's right.
Ready?
Yep.
All right, I move we set the title for proposed initiative 2015-16, number 118, as it now appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that concludes our agenda. The time is 4:30.
Thank you, members of the board.
Thank you.